It's CrossFit Radio for Saturday, May 23rd, 2009. Coming to you from Gravity Jane's CrossFit in Issaquah, Washington. And this is Dave Young, your host for CrossFit Radio Weekend, 6 p.m. every Saturday night right here. And that works out real nice for me, because if I wasn't here on Saturday nights, I'd just probably be getting into trouble anyway. And I hope it works out well for you, too. This is the place for ongoing 2009 CrossFit Games coverage in audio form. We have pledged to bring you the latest and the best games coverage possible and explore this epic event from every possible angle. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Tonight, we have a live report from the scene of the Northeast Regional Qualification Round in Albany, New York, from Jason Ackerman, the event organizer. You'll hear Jason's report in just a minute. And then, I have audio of Brian McKenzie from a recent CrossFit Endurance certification. How important is technique to you? Well, Brian is going to tell you how important it should be in this clip coming up in just a few minutes right here on CrossFit Radio. And finally, I have a conversation with Rob Wolf, this time tailored for the Games competitor. Most of you know Rob is the diet guru for CrossFit, and I'm going to question him on how to fuel a CrossFit Games competitor between now and showtime. All of this on the show just ahead. It's CrossFit Radio Weekend, and your comments to this program are always welcome. You can shoot me those via email during tonight's show, or anytime you like. Dave at CrossFitRadio.com is my email address, and I would love to hear from you. That's Dave at CrossFitRadio.com. You are listening to CrossFit Radio. This is CrossFit Radio Weekend, and tonight, as I mentioned, we have a live report for you on the Northeast Regional Qualifying Round. They are holding that round this weekend in Albany, New York. The organizer of that event and the owner of Albany CrossFit, the site of the qualifying round, is Jason Ackerman. So let's start by having you set us up with some facts about the event today. You're in Albany, New York, and this is the Northeast Regional Qualifier. Would you define Northeast Region for us? What states are involved?
Northeast region off the top of my head was Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and a few other states. I know the basic Northeast minus Pennsylvania, and you get the gist of that, I suppose.
I think we got the gist of it, yeah, man. Okay, how many competitors did you have?
We had 240 competitors from the Northeast, obviously. We had 240 competitors. Mostly men. I believe we had about 180 men and about 50 or 60 women.
Okay. How many of those are moving on to the CrossFit Games?
We're
eventually
going to send out the top five men and the top five women to Aromas.
All right. Very good. Let's talk about your challenges today. Tell us what they were working on today.
Well, the first WOD that we set up was a 12-minute as many rounds as possible with every rep going towards the final score of five thrusters. It was a heavy-weighted thruster, 135 pounds for the men, 95 for the ladies, and 10 burpees.
Oh, dude. Pretty creative stuff. You had 12 minutes of that and as many total reps as possible.
Right, as many rounds, and then every rep counted towards the end.
Yeah. Okay, very cool. Anything else today?
The second WOD of the day was just a very simple, nice and easy 2K row.
2K rows are never nice and easy, man. Not if you do them right.
Yes, exactly. We saw more people wind up, you know, being carried off, rolled out of their off their rower than I've ever seen before. We turned in some super, super impressive times, tons of times under 7 minutes, many in the 6:30 range. It was incredible. These athletes gave it absolutely everything they had.
Wow, that's very cool, man. Have you released the details of tomorrow's challenges?
We did just release it, so you guys can hear it now. It is a triplet with the following three movements. Power clean, 155 for the men, 105 for the ladies. Chest to bar pull-ups and kettlebell swings, 55 pounds, 35 for the ladies. And the rep range is going to be 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Pretty creative stuff. I like that. All right. So what, if you could give us some names of who's on your leaderboard so far. We'd just love to hear, you know, who's got the top five spots, men and women, so we kind of know who to look out for tomorrow. You got some names for us?
We haven't finalized the scoring just yet. We haven't finished too long ago. We're kind of combining both of the days' wads so far. Off the top of my head, I know from CrossFit Boston, James Hobart was in second or third place. We had Brad Poznanski from CrossFit Invictus in second place for the men. As far as the ladies, I know Heather Keenan, somebody that everybody was looking out for, I believe is in around third place, and Stacy Kroon from CrossFit Boston was in first place there. But other than that, the details should be announced tonight on our site.
Let's tell everybody what that site is.
The site to look for tonight, where you're going to see the top women, is going to be albanycrossfit.com.
Okay.
We have all the updated, we'll have the updated sites, the updated heats. We're sending the top 16 into the final heats for the females and males at the end of the day tomorrow.
Okay, and I'm just going to kind of ask for your impression. Do you think that the people that finish strong today are also going to be right there tomorrow? Or are you looking for somebody to come from behind?
You know, it'd be great to see somebody come from behind. I think if they were out of the top 16, it's going to be very hard to crack that top five that we're sending out west. But you never know. Today's workouts were very different, and I don't think anybody that was, you know, specialized more in one than the other. So I think the people that we're going to send out there and the people that did well today are really going to be true CrossFitters and just able to excel at anything we throw at them.
Yeah, there you go. So I got to ask you, I know, you know, I've been to one of these qualifiers, so I know what kind of a day this is, especially for the guy that organizes, the person that organizes it. So I just got to ask you a personal note. What time did you get up this morning?
I was up early for me, 6 o'clock, probably not too early for everybody else, but for me, that's a little too early. But we had a great time. A lot of the people that were working behind the scenes, we went out last night. So we might have partied a little bit too much the night before, but that's to be expected at a CrossFit event.
Dang, you're pretty organized, man. I think you ought to you might want to write the book on how to hold a qualifier. You're out partying the night before, getting up at 6 o'clock. That's about the most organized that I've heard anybody be so far. So congratulations to you on that. I'm going to ask just your opinion about highlights of the day. If anything, anything out of the ordinary happened, any particularly impressive performances you want to talk about, anything else that went on today that stick out in your mind?
It was hard to pinpoint one athlete out there. As always, the ladies of CrossFit are just phenomenal. They not only look fantastic, but they're just animals and they're strong. And they were just super impressive to watch. Thrusters with 95 pounds is not lightweight. They were banging them out like nothing, throwing 10 burpees in between rounds, so that was pretty killer. The guys were just nuts. Coming off those rowers, I mean, seeing guys literally be carried out of the competitor area because they just gave it everything they had on the row, that's just so impressive to see.
Yeah, that is. It's inspiring, and it's just a joy to be around that kind of work. I'm sure you're no stranger to that, but never fails to get my attention. Tell me about the spectator crowd. Do you have a lot of folks out just watching today?
I think we had easily over 500 people spectating.
Oh, very cool.
We really did our best to make this a true CrossFit festival-like experience. We had live music throughout the day. We had plenty of events for the kids. We had vendors selling food, lots of affiliates selling T-shirts. So you could basically walk around the grounds, buy some cool stuff, eat some good food, paleo kits, healthy zone meals, Heather bars from Heather Keenan, and it was incredible. It was just really a great experience. I think whether you're competing, spectating, or part of the team, it was really just a tremendous day.
Well, tell me where you held this event. It sounds like you got quite a lot of space there to work with. Where are you doing this out of?
Well, we're running it out of my affiliate, but we're running it outdoors. We basically closed off the parking lot, so people had to park not too far away, about 100 feet away in the mall parking lot, and just roped it off outdoors, and the only thing we were hoping was that it didn't rain, and I would say literally about 30 seconds after the final heat downpour. And then it opened up again. Nice day. Melissa Mulligan got out there, played Fran Is in Your Kitchen. I don't know if everybody heard that when it was on the main page. And then we had some great barbecue.
Well,
maybe a few beers.
Maybe just one or two, yeah. I'll tell you what, it sounds to me like you might be the guy to write the book on holding the qualifier, because it sounds like you put together a really nice day for everybody. And my congratulations to you, but you got one more day to go. So this is a two-day event, and everybody's back to do it all again tomorrow. You are going to put the day's results up on your website. Got some pictures up there, too, that you can post?
There'll be tons of pictures. We're going to do our best to get as much as we can out tonight. Of course, we just have to sift through everything. We've sent plenty into the headquarters throughout the day, so I don't know if they've gotten some stuff on the games page yet. I haven't had a chance to look.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but at the latest, by the end of the weekend, tons of pictures. Videos are going to be turned out by tons of people. I saw, you know, four or five photographers, four or five people taking video. So look for lots of great action shots, action videos, and results by the end of the night for sure.
Okay, Jason, I know this has been a long day for you, and I sure appreciate you taking some time with me here on CrossFit Radio. Before I let you go, anything else you want to say, any thanks you want to give to anybody, or just anything else you want to say about today's event, I'm happy to give you some time.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I appreciate your kind words, thinking I should write the book on this, but you know, I could have done it definitely without David Osorio from CrossFit South Brooklyn and Neil Thompson from CrossFit Boston. They both did a tremendous job. Dave organized all the judges and volunteers, who also really did fantastic. They were on their feet in the heat, in the sun, you know, for 12 hours, changing weights, moving weights, encouraging every single athlete that stepped out there to give it their 100%. Neil was sitting behind the desk working Excel spreadsheets. You know, I work with CrossFit because I hate doing that kind of stuff. So Neil got that task of working with the Excel spreadsheet, and the scorekeeping went great. And it really could not have been done with everybody else and all the other athletes that volunteered, and just the great camaraderie amongst the CrossFitters. No arguing, no fighting, everybody encouraging one another, whether it was beating them on the row or whether it was beating them in the WOD or taking over a higher ranking than them. You know how it is amongst CrossFitters. You know, we all want to compete with each other, but it's more about competing with yourselves. And I think everybody really exemplified that spirit today.
All right. Sounds like a truly beautiful day, and my congratulations to you for that. Before I let you go, I just have to say that I've been asked to tell you by somebody that I'm sure that you will recognize not to let Ripito talk you out of ordering the wings next time you're out for beers.
Oh, yes. I tried to get wings at an English pub. My bad, I guess. Ripito was not too happy about that, but you know what? It was better than some other things I've been made for by the man, so there's been worse.
That's for sure. All right, Jason Ackerman, I'm going to let you go. Thanks again for checking in with us and giving us a great report on the Northeast Regional Qualifier here on CrossFit Radio. Good work to you. Carry on tomorrow, and we'll look forward to those results.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right, my pleasure. That is Jason Ackerman from Albany CrossFit at the Northwest Regional Qualifiers, Albany, New York. And sounds like they had a great day out there. You check it out, albanycrossfit.com, if you'd like more details on today's qualifier. How much is technique emphasized in your CrossFit box? Brian McKenzie tells us how important it should be in this audio from a recent endurance certification. Here's Brian.
A lot of your guys' running went quickly to shit on that. There's a reason why we do a workout with running it, and it's to show you how quickly it can go to shit. It is something that you have to work at. And is it Joe? Yeah, Joe ask me how long this is going to really take, you know, and that's entirely up to you. It is on how much time you really want to spend with it. You know, those extra 45 minutes a day, you want to work on the skill of this. Trust me, you're going to learn it a lot quicker. You want to figure out what works for you. You pick a drill that works for you. You pick something that makes you understand, that you become conscious of what it is you're doing, and really allows you to grasp it and give you that moment of greatness to where you feel like it's an effortless deal, okay? And then you can go at it. And there's plenty of people in CrossFit that don't want it. They show up at a level one. There's a level one right now going down to San Diego. I've got two of my guys down there. One guy's fairly decent. He's pretty good. He's got his mechanics down pretty well. The other guy does not. And he's going to be getting hosed this weekend on his form. He just is. I mean, how many people in here have been to a level one? Keep them up. Okay? How many people got corrected on what the fuck they were doing at a level one? Everybody whose hands up. Because what you think you're doing isn't standard. And it needs to come up to standard. We all need to work on that at all the time. Which is why in the groups, we teach the skill before we just go blast out. Now, I've been to places where people don't do that. They just come in, do quick warm-up, and let's hit it. Okay? You know, it has to be, you have to develop things on a skill level first. If you don't have the skill and the conditioning, you're not going to get the power and speed. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it.
That's Brian McKenzie, CrossFit Endurance, from a video available right now on the pages of the CrossFit Journal, journal.crossfit.com. And you can find that clip in its entirety right there on the pages of the Journal. Let's talk some more games, in particular, fuel for the games. Rob Wolf is the most knowledgeable guy in the CrossFit community and perhaps anywhere on the subject of human diet. So I thought I'd ring him up and get his take on a few questions regarding diet for a games competitor. And we'll talk to Rob in just a moment. First, got a little background for you on Rob in case you're rusty on where Rob came from. Some of Rob's athletic achievements include winning the Natural Athlete Strength Association California State Powerlifting Championship at the age of 19, and he was undefeated in his amateur kickboxing record. Rob is an NSCA, Certified Strength and Conditioning Specialist, and in addition, he's an Olympic weightlifting coach and holds the highest level of CrossFit training certification. Rob received his scientific training at California State University in Chico, where he earned a BS in biochemistry. From there, Rob worked as a research biochemist for 5 years, and he includes in his CV lipid metabolism research at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center, as well as Paleolithic diet research with Professor Lauren Cordain of Colorado State University. And Professor Cordain is also the author of the book, The Paleo Diet. Rob is also a review editor for the Journal of Nutrition and Metabolism. So let's welcome to CrossFit Radio, Rob Wolf. Rob, you and I, you and I go back a ways in this CrossFit thing, and I just want you to know it's great to speak with you again.
Yeah, hey Dave, what's going on?
I want to get your voice into our games coverage. You willing to grant us some of your diet wisdom?
For you, always.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that. Any CrossFit athlete who has dialed in his or her diet to any degree at all will probably do just fine with, you know, no modifications whatsoever right up until game time. But you know that we can't help ourselves. You know, we want to tweak, don't we? We want to tweak our training. We want to tweak our diet any way we can. So if there's any value in it, of course, and that's what I'm here to find out about from you tonight. So what I want to do is talk about our the makeup of our diet first, and then we can discuss timing and other factors. But assuming that we got an athlete on their way to the games, what are some of the considerations about the makeup of a diet in a periodization program on your way to the games?
Well, I think Coach Glassman's statement about like the needs of our folks, you know, whether they're Olympic athletes or our grandparents, differ by degree, you know, not kind, is totally true. And with that in mind, like the thing that everybody wants is to perform better and to have quicker, better recovery from their efforts. And one of the key things that folks can do with that is to just really take advantage of post-workout nutrition and, you know, solid food quality. So trying to get the bulk of their carbohydrates from, like, fruits and vegetables. They're the most nutrient-dense. They've got antioxidants in them. They control insulin and all that stuff. Taking our fish oil, getting good lean protein sources and all that, smart fat sources. And then where and how we partition our carbohydrate is kind of this this missing piece for a lot of people, particularly when they're approaching things from a standard kind of zone prescription, which is very much like a balanced macronutrient gig, which works really, really well. But what a lot of folks find is that if they take a portion of their day's carbohydrates, up to, like, say, 50% of the day's carbohydrates, and sneak that into the post-workout meal, particularly if it's a burner of a workout, that they're getting much, much better recovery off of that. And that's one of the, you know, one element of things that folks can tweak. And there's also a thing to keep in mind that we've got fueling leading up to game day, and then we have actual game day and kind of game weekend fueling, which is that people are facing, you know, 2, 3, 4 workout shellacking within the course of 2 days.
Yeah.
And how do you recover from that? And even though folks will start doing double days in their training to kind of, and, you know, we'll do tune-ups, and obviously a lot of people had to go through qualifiers and stuff like that, that's a totally different process than what they're going to face on game day. And so they need to think about how they're going to refuel when they just take a beating on these really tough workouts, and then they're looking at potentially doing another one just like it, or maybe even worse, an hour later, 3 hours later, the next day there are more workouts to be done. So what are they going to do to take advantage of optimizing recovery then?
Right.
And so that's a whole other thing.
All right, let's. I want to, you know, just kind of dwell on this subject of recovery here for just a minute. If you are, you know, if you're engaged in a typical workout schedule, and you've got, you know, you've got your workout period during the day, and then you go home from that, you've got essentially 24 hours to recover from that workout. What is it about the food that is going to make that any better? Because it doesn't happen. It doesn't have to happen faster. At least in my, maybe I'm wrong about that, but I'm thinking it doesn't have to happen faster. What I hear you saying is that it can happen better. And I'm not quite sure I understand that.
There's this period of time post-workout. You know, so much of the zone, so much of smart nutrition is about balancing and manipulating our hormones, insulin, glucagon, growth hormone, cortisol, all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
And there's some pretty good understanding that post-workout, we've got a period of time when we can fly carbohydrates, amino acids, into our muscles preferentially and without much insulin. And what we find is that folks recover faster. The tissue breakdown that has happened starts being reversed quicker. Any potential kind of catabolic hormones get shut off quicker and more potently. And so we're in a better just kind of hormonal environment cover quicker. And one of the points that Coach Glassman makes about the zone in general is that what you find is that folks who get their food better dialed in, on average, from day to day, week to week, you know, month to month, they on average recover a little bit better and can therefore train at a little bit higher average intensity. And over the long haul, this ends up, you know, amounting to a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And what we find is that what I've found, what a load of people have found when they tweak this basic kind of zone prescription, paleo zone prescription, and they tweak it in favor of a little bit of post-workout recovery emphasis, that they bounce back from efforts faster and they can train at an average higher intensity more often.
So what I hear you saying is that the recovery process and the degree to which you recover is an overall indication of your actual capacity. In other words, it's like a natural benefit of being in a better state of condition, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. But there's an interesting element to that. As an athlete gets bigger and stronger, his or her ability to kind of crush themselves in some ways actually gets bigger and bigger. And so there needs to be kind of some thought towards how do you manage that volume and intensity? How do you optimize some other recovery methods? You know, like Mike Bergner is huge on getting his Olympic lifting athletes and even his CrossFit athletes to jump in a cold swimming pool after they do some training.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what's going on with that is minimizing inflammation
right.
systemically throughout the whole body. And interestingly, also, it enhances insulin sensitivity.
Mm.
And now there was early on, there was a CrossFit journal talking about recovery, and Coach Glassman made some good points about the fact that, you know, nobody is going to sit back on couch and recover themselves into elite fitness. The emphasis needs to be on hard training and guts and all that, and that is totally true. But we don't have to turn a blind eye to some of these things, like, you know, can we do some cold water immersion post-workout? Can we take advantage of some smarter nutrition? Smart, you know, being kind of a paleo's own prescription. And then for me, an even further refinement of that is taking advantage of some post-workout recovery.
Okay, so dietarily, what I hear you saying is that post-workout, we're looking for a fairly rich carbohydrate mix.
This might be a place for, like, bananas and stuff like that. Some of these higher glycemic load, glycemic index items that are usually somewhat no-nos on the zone, but are really well-placed in this situation.
Now, I had the chance to talk to Barry Sears about 3 or 4 days ago. We were talking about this very same issue, and he believed that the typical balance of macronutrients in a post-workout meal, he still felt was actually the best. He actually made the statement that proteins, they were just as effective at restoring muscle glycogen as carbohydrates were. And I seem to hear you say something a little different.
Well, what I'm recommending is that you keep your protein in there. Say like we have a 16-block individual. This would be pretty typical male, like a lot of male CrossFitters run this way. And say like this individual would run four-block meals throughout the day.
Yeah.
What this person would look at doing potentially is their post-workout meal, they still have 4 blocks of protein in there. But what I'm saying is that they would benefit from having upwards of 8 blocks of carbohydrate in that post-workout meal.
Okay.
So I disagree with Barry on this, in that keeping a 100% static nutritional approach, to me, neither makes sense nor seems to be borne out with the literature or just simply people trying this stuff.
Yeah.
We've got now thousands of people who are being a nutrition cert, and just from looking on the CrossFit message boards, simply try this, and then they report, yeah, my recovery is better on this. So Barry is right in that protein plays an integral role in the recovery. So you want some protein. Typically, what a lot of the recommendation is like a 4-to-1 carbohydrate protein, or about a 2-to-1 carbohydrate protein, depending on how big of a shellacking the individual. So, you know, something like a filthy 50 might warrant something like a 4-to-1 carbohydrate recovery. A more modest workout, even though it's a grueling workout, something like a Helen might be like a 2-to-1 carbohydrate protein recovery, because we've got two issues that we're trying to deal with. We're trying to deal with cellular breakdown. We're trying to deal with disturbances in the whole hormonal system and our immune function, and we are trying to get glycogen preferentially back into those muscles that were just hammered.
Yeah.
And so I hang my hat on that. And it's as simple, again, as like people should do the standard balanced macronutrient gig for a month and see how they look, feel, and perform.
Mm-hmm.
Then they should take that 50% carb load and stick it in the post-workout window and see how they look, feel, and perform. And then it's their own personal experience. Maybe I'm full of shit. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Or there's an outside chance that I'm right about it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, what matters is that those folks experience what is the best recovery for them.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of an either-or thing. Then.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Now, does it work the other way? Are there any things that we're doing on a regular basis that we probably shouldn't be doing?
It seems like most folks in the CrossFit scene do pretty well. Like they seem to educate themselves well on things, and there's so many resources out there, like the Zone Chronicles that Pat Sherwood provides on the CrossFit Journal. I think generally folks are doing pretty well on this stuff. If I can encourage them to do anything, it's just really keep an eye on what they're doing. Document how they're sleeping, how they're feeling recovery-wise. Coach Glassman, again, you know, he reminds people that if at the end of a day off, whether you're on the 5-on, 2-off, or the 3-on, 1-off, if after your day's off, you're going into the gym and you're really dragging, then you need to look at where your intensity level is at. And you need to look at some lifestyle factors like how good is your sleep? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you really getting your food in? Like, is the quality good? Are you taking your fish oil? Are you actually weighing and measuring your food? So, that, you know, there's levels of buy-in that people need to do, and it's all dependent on how much juice that they want to get out of their program.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that generally folks do pretty well.
I know Coach Bergner is kind of big on these 1 a.m. feedings. What's your attitude about that?
Well, you know, if you're trying to get somebody big, then I think that that becomes super necessary. Like, there's just not enough time to pack in all that food. And so, like, some of Rip's, you know, like gallon of milk a day, and Berg, I think he calls his peanut butter and jelly sandwiches like a Longhorn steroids or something like that. You know, I mean, those things are totally appropriate. Say, like, you've got this super skinny kid and you're trying to pack some weight on him.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff can become really appropriate. For the vast majority of folks, they're really needing to kind of go the other direction, where they need to lean out and get some better body composition. And I think the 1 a.m. feeding is probably not a good idea in that case.
Okay. Well, there was, I mean, I think he also mentioned it wasn't only the extra calories or even the extra protein he was looking for, but the stabilization of blood sugars throughout the 24-hour cycle.
My own personal bias on this, I think we actually do well some periods of time when our digestion is not ramped up, when our blood sugar, you know, when we go maybe a little bit just burning body fat and some stuff like that, like we have a little bit of punctuation and some downtime. And when we look at CrossFit, it's a highly randomized strength and conditioning approach, and that is a significant portion of its efficacy. And I think that there's some argument to be made for having some periods when we're not constantly feeding. A good illustration of this would be, you know, how many meals a day should one eat? And so we could divide our meals up into 4 meals a day, 6 meals a day, 8 meals a day, 12 meals a day. How much better are 12 meals a day versus 4 meals a day with regards to, like, body composition, performance, and all that stuff?
Right.
I'm suspicious that it's any better on a performance level. And I'm pretty sure that on a neuroses, drive you out in the street, make you jump under a bus level, that it's pretty high. And so there's a certain degree of, like, you know, what's a good buy-in that you can get just the average person, or, you know, even somebody who's trying to perform at a high level, but what's a livable thing that you could do? And I think, like, you know, 4 meals a day and a snack or something like that is pretty good. And if we're looking at potentially waking up just to have a meal, I'm kind of the opinion that sleep is probably more valuable than the trying to stabilize blood sugar throughout the night or something.
Yeah, well, it was something to be said for that. That's for sure. All right. So just as a final a message, you have talked about manipulating carbohydrate intake. I'm wondering if there's any manipulation involved in either fats or protein, or would you stick to that you know, that basic zone formula?
I would, in that post-workout meal, delete most of the fat, because what we're trying to take advantage of is a enhanced period post-workout where we can fly more nutrients, more amino acids, more glucose into the muscles, and that enhances recovery. Mm-hmm. And Barry makes the point that fat slows gastric emptying. It slows the rate that nutrients leave the stomach.
Right.
And so if this notion that we is accurate, that we want to take advantage of a post-workout window, then we want to delete some fat in that post-workout meal and reproportion them elsewhere.
Okay.
Now, from the standard zone perspective, all of this stuff is heresy. You know, it's like it's always supposed to be exactly balanced every day, all the time. But again, like, we've got loads and loads of people that have been tinkering with this stuff, and they find that it works better for them. I wrote an article for it called 42 Ways to Skin the Zone, and that really details how to slice and dice and change all this stuff to individualize it for folks' needs, instead of it being a one-size-fits-all sort of approach.
Where can people find that article, by the way?
That article, they could Google it, or they can go to performancemenu.com.
Okay.
And then just search function for 42 Ways to Skin the Zone.
Okay, so you're talking about now the you just responded to my question by talking about the post-workout meal. I'm looking more in terms of over the course of a day, over the course of a week, should our total protein intake be altered at all in consideration of training for a competition, and likewise, should our fats be altered at all?
Not too much. I mean, that one change-up in the post-workout nutrition is pretty sufficient for most of that, and that will change protein, carbohydrate, fat ratios. You know, the one place where that can be changed up is just the cheat meal, and when folks are doing that, you know, it's kind of have fun, kick your heels up. To what degree you want to do that is kind of a subjective thing. You know, some people, when they go off the rails, they never come back on. Other people have their one cheat meal or the one cheat day, and they kind of bounce back in there. But I think psychologically, and even from just kind of like a filling up the glycogen stores level, I think there's a good argument for doing a cheat day every once in a while. And that is another period where we kind of naturally vary the amount of protein and fats that we're taking in.
So your formula, once again, and you know, I'll tell you that I run into people who I'm a little concerned might not be getting enough. So I'm curious just to hear your formula one more time about about adequate amounts of protein over the course of a day. What's your formula for that?
Well, Coach Glassman's made a nice point on this, which is that the zone, basic zone prescription, is the starting point for protein and fat, and it's never typically going to be more than the carbohydrate recommendation. So the starting point, then, we have to start tinkering, and this is where we have to weigh and measure and keep an eye on what we're up to see if, you know, does this person maybe they're not quite bouncing back from workouts as well as we should see, and we can up their protein a little bit and see if they respond better.
Right.
And it really just becomes a
tinkering
situation where
you've
just got to check their temperature every day they come into the gym. You know, how did you sleep? How are you feeling? Look at how their performance is going.
Sure.
And if we see a general kind of upward trend, people who are new to CrossFit, if their nutrition is pretty sound, they've got a good 3-year run where every day they go in the gym, they should have a PR on something. Maybe not everything, but on something.
Right.
And if they don't, then we know something's amiss either with their nutrition or their lifestyle.
Yeah.
And if they're running at a basic, you know, again, say someone my size, 180 pounds, if 16 blocks doesn't quite seem to be cutting it, then maybe we pop them up to 2 blocks of protein. But it becomes very much a situation where you can't divine that any other way than just tinkering with it.
Pure performance.
Yeah, you got to look at the performance. Pat Sherwood is 185 pounds and running on 16 blocks and still base fat. Like, he hasn't even ramped his fat up.
Mm.
So, you know, and I would have never, ever, ever predicted that.
Mm.
And you just have to get in and tinker. And that's where, if folks really want to step things up to the next level, the weighing and measuring is pretty critical. Because what that is, it's a roadmap about where you are at. And then we can make educated decisions about where we're going to go.
Yeah.
And without that information, you're just kind of peeing in the wind. You know, you don't know what you're up to. You can't make an educated decision about what your next step should be to try to improve your performance.
All right. Okay, Rob. So, any last words you got for games competitors? Just give you the opportunity to toss in a little bit of advice if you've got any left.
You know, if I could give anybody advice, who any folks that are prepping for the games, keep a real good eye on your sleep quality. If you start seeing sleep quality come unhinged, you've got to dial your volume and intensity back. You may need a day off. You may need several days off. Folks are better off to some degree coming in, a little more rested than beat to death on that game day, because they're going to face a pretty hellish challenge. So if they can keep an eye on sleep quality and make sure that sleep quality is good, that's a pretty good indicator that they're on task with regards to their food and their overall training.
I'm speaking with Rob Wolf on CrossFit Radio Weekend. Rob, you're a CrossFit treasure, my man, and I hope we can meet up again soon. I just want to say thank you for helping out on the show tonight.
Pleasure, Dave. It's great hearing you again.
All right. Thank you, Rob. We'll talk soon.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's CrossFit Radio for Saturday, May 23rd, 2009. It's produced by Kyle Erickson. And my thanks, as always, to the CrossFit community and the students, teachers, and friends who gather at Gravity Jane's CrossFit in Issaquah, Washington. Nothing happens without CC, and you're only as good as your last Fran. Games coverage continues next Saturday night, 6 p.m. live on CrossFit Radio Weekend. This is Dave Young, and we will see you then.